Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of John. Book of John. Someone asked if I had preached this message before. I searched my computer back for 10 years, and if I preached it before, I deleted the outline because it was not, according to my computer, there's nothing there. And if I did preach it before, somebody probably needs it again because, this is the sermon I felt led to preach. So if I did preach it, forgive me. Well, don't forgive me. Listen carefully because you probably still need it again. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, and verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth light, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you look up the words born again, I use Merriam-Webster's College Dictionary. But if you look up the words born again, you'll find two main definitions. You find the first one says, being an unusual Christian person who has made a renewed or confirmed commitment of faith, especially after an intense religious experience. Did you get that? Second one, having returned to or newly adopted an activity, a conviction, or a persona, especially with a proselyting zeal. In both definitions, it simply says that we renew or reconfirm our commitment of faith. That's not being born again. You can't renew your birth. If you rededicate your life after backsliding, according to their definition, you've been born again. If you get a new conviction on some truth or some great religious idea, according to their definition, you've been born again. Among many religions, the phrase born again has come to mean almost anything. It can simply mean a great emotional experience. Preachers are masters at stirring up emotions and getting emotions all worked up. And then they'll say, oh, we had a born-again service. The phrase is so overused that the vast majority of people have no idea on earth what it means to be born again. But what does the phrase mean? When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, how did Jesus use that phrase? And how did Nicodemus understand it? You know, a lot of people like to quote verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In fact, for many people, that's the whole gospel right there in a nutshell. But what is Jesus telling Nicodemus? I want to look at that this morning and see if I can at least help us to understand what it means that ye must be born again. Now, to understand, you got to look at the context. I say that all the time. If you want to know what a verse means, look at the context. Look at the chapter. Look at the audience. Look at the speaker. You've got to look at everything to understand what Jesus meant when he spoke those words. In this case, verse 1, Nicodemus was already a very, very religious individual. Verse 1 says he was a Pharisee, the strictest of the strict in religion. He was a ruler of the Jews. In fact, John chapter 7, verse 50 indicates that he was probably a member of the Supreme Court or the Sanhedrin. In verse 2, he knew that Jesus was from God based on the miracles that Jesus had done. Maybe he had seen some miracles. Maybe he had heard of some miracles. But either way, he knew that Jesus had performed some mighty miracles. He knew that Jesus was a great teacher. And all of this had led him to believe that Jesus is more than just a mere man. He knew that Jesus was sent from God. And so he came to Jesus by night. Many think he came by night because he didn't want his peers to see him talking to Jesus. He didn't want to be criticized or ridiculed for even going to speak to Jesus. We don't know his motive, but whatever his motive was, he wanted to talk to Jesus. We know that much. And so he went to Jesus, whether it was day or night, whether he was scared, whether it was inconvenient. The only thing we do know is that he wanted to talk to Jesus and find out more about Jesus. And so Jesus begins to witness to him. And I had no idea what Brother Chris was going to teach in Sunday school. He had no idea what I was going to preach in the sermon. So my first point on witnessing is going to go almost identical to one of his points. There's several different ideas on what it means to present the gospel or to witness to someone. Some churches think that in order to present the gospel, you got to go through and explain the whole death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. Others have condensed the gospel to what they often call the ABCs, accept, believe, confess. And if you accept, believe, and confess, you're born again, you're saved. But Jesus shows us here and in several other passages that you start where the person is. You start where that individual is, and from where they are, then you point them to Christ. In this case, he didn't have to go back and explain creation. He didn't have to go back and explain prophecy. He started with the man who already knew the Old Testament, who was very familiar with the Old Testament. And so Jesus started where he was and went from where he was and pointed him ultimately to Christ. Jesus said in verse 3, except a man be born again. Nicodemus had no clue what he was talking about. He had no idea what Jesus was saying. And let me throw this in. When a person's lost, they're not capable of understanding spiritual things. You know, when a person is lost and you say, I don't understand why they don't understand it. They're lost. They're dead. They're blinded. They cannot see. And so when Jesus presented, you must be born again, Nicodemus has no clue on earth what Jesus is talking about. The only kind of birth Nicodemus knew about was physical birth. And so he's scratching his head and he's thinking, and, you know, Lord, I don't know how old he is, but Lord, how on earth is it possible for me to go back to my mother, go back inside her womb at 30, 40 years of age, go back inside my mother's womb and be born again? How can you become young again when you're already old? How can you do this, Jesus? So Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to bring out something, and I have no idea what most of you believe, but what does the water stand for in verse 5? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Many people believe that the water there is baptism. Unless a man is baptized, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Some believe that water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so, except you're born of the Holy Spirit and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Again, go to the context. Look in verse 5. Except a man be born of water. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Jesus is answering this question. Lord, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born when I'm old? Jesus is saying, look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You were born of water when your mother carried you. You were engulfed in water when you were born. You know, your mother's water broke and you were born of water. But this is different. This is not that. This is a birth of the Spirit, not of water. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You have to be physically born, yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a second birth, a different birth, a spiritual birth. And so Jesus tries to explain it to him. Now, I think Jesus is teaching a lesson here, even farther than what Nicodemus understood. I've used this illustration before. Nicodemus questioned how to deal with the physical birth. Jesus said, how much did you have to do with your physical birth? Now, think about that for a moment. What part did you play in your physical birth? You didn't plant the seed from which you were conceived. You didn't grow yourself inside the womb. You didn't develop yourself. Psalms tells us God designed you, God made you, God took care of you. So what part did you have in your physical birth? Well, I was born. What part did you play? I maintain that even in the birthing process, all you did was cooperate with what God had already designed and decreed. I'll come back to that again in a few minutes. I'll just think about that for right now. Then Jesus gives him a parable or a lesson. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from. You can't see the wind. I don't know, what was it, a week or so ago, we had a horrible windstorm blow through, and you know, I got out of the car, I was going into the post office, and it almost blew me over to McDonald's there. You can't, I mean, I could feel the wind, I could see the effects of the wind, but I could not see the wind. You can't understand the wind. Now, in our modern day, we've learned to measure the wind speed. We've learned to measure the wind direction. We can do all kinds of things. And we can even observe and predict patterns of the wind. But nobody can explain what wind is, or where it comes from, or where it goes. Where does the wind go when it blows past you? See, Jesus says, look, let me explain it this way. Can you see the wind? No. Can you understand the wind? No. Can you control the wind? No, it blows wherever God wants it to blow. And even today, man can study the wind, but we still cannot change the course that the wind is on. It's something far beyond our ability. So can you control the wind? No. So too with the new birth. It's a spiritual birth. You can't see it. You can see the effects of it, but you can't see it. You can't control it. Well, I'm going to be saved when I want to. That's a whole nother sermon, but for now, I'll just say no. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You can't control the wind. You can't control the new birth. You don't even understand the new birth. I remember when our first child was, well, when my wife was carrying our oldest child, we went to the library. We didn't have the internet. We went to the library and got every book we could find on pregnancy, the different stages. You know, I mean, we read every book you could imagine just about. And after it was all over with and said and done, they still don't understand pregnancy and birth. They can tell you what happens at this phase, at this stage, but they still can't tell you how you got from this stage to that stage. Nicodemus, you can't see the new birth. You can't understand the new birth. You can't control the new birth. If you wait till you understand salvation, you'll spend eternity in hell and still not understand salvation. God works quietly and sovereignly in the hearts of mankind, and you cannot tell him who, when, or where to save anybody. Sunday morning I was saved, August the 10th, 1958. And by the way, I only know that because my mom wrote it down in her Bible. And when my brother and I were cleaning out their house, selling everything, giving everything away. I found mom's old Bible, and in there was the date that I was saved, the date my brother was saved, and the date we both were baptized. You know, if mom hadn't written it down, I would not know that I was saved on August the 10th. If I didn't have a birth certificate, I wouldn't know that I was born on November 22nd. Somebody says, I don't remember if it was October the 1st or October the 13th. That's not important. You know, the only reason we keep up with that is so we can get presents on our birthday. And we can know how much older we're getting. But you can't control the new birth. And somebody said, I don't remember what day it was. It doesn't matter. Were you born again? Were you born spiritually? Well, I don't know. I'll deal with that in another minute or two. So I said, how much did you have to do with your physical birth? You didn't plant the seed. You didn't make it grow. You didn't birth yourself. All you did was cooperate with God's plan and purpose. Nicodemus is still confused. So Jesus told him a story that every Jew would know. He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Wait a minute. I wrote the wrong verse down. Let me find it real quick. Verse 14. Wasn't too far off. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus, you're a smart man. Let's see if I can break this down for you. As a ruler of Israel, as a member of the Supreme Court, as a Pharisee, he would know every detail about the Exodus and the wandering and all of that. So he said, okay, I'm going to take a page out of history here. You remember the story, the children of Israel began to murmur and gripe and complain and criticize. And, you know, they were just griping and grumbling. And God sent fiery serpents among them. And the serpents began to bite them. And people began to die very rapidly. Thousands of people began to die. And the children of Israel cried out and said, Moses, God, help us. And God said, Moses, go take a pole and wrap a brazen serpent around that pole. And if hold that pole out, if they look at that pole, they'll be saved. You remember that story, Nicodemus? Yes, I remember that story very, very well. All right? The spiritual birth is very, very similar to that. All Israel had to do was look. They didn't have to heal themselves. They just looked. They didn't have to make the brazen serpent. Moses had already made that. They didn't have to do anything except look to the brazen serpent and live. Well, how did God heal them? That was none of their business. All they had to do was look to the brazen serpent, and they were healed. Nicodemus, that's the same way salvation is. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up on the cross, and you don't have to understand it. You just have to look to the cross and believe. Trust Jesus Christ. Believe that He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the earth. You don't have to understand it, but trust that it works. I can almost hear some of the Israelites. Well, I want to know what magical powers that brazen serpent's got before I look at it. I want to understand how that's going to work. I want to understand how that serpent's going to reach back to you. And pretty soon they're bitten and they swell up and they die because they're trying to figure out how the brazen serpent works. You know, there's going to be a lot of people die trying to figure out how salvation works. Nowhere did the Bible ever command you to understand. Nowhere did the Bible ever command you to have to know everything. Nowhere does the Bible ever say that you have to, you know, do this and this. You don't even have to make the brazen serpent. It's already made. All you got to do is look. You don't have to carry a cross. You don't have to be crucified. You don't have to take the sins of the world. That's already been done. All you got to do is look and believe. Just look to the Lamb of God. Nicodemus, do you understand the brazen serpent? No, but I believe it. Then it's the same thing. It's the same thing. They had to look. Nobody could look for them. Every person had to look themselves in order to be healed. So I ask you this morning, have you been born again? I'm not asking if you believe in God. Nicodemus certainly believed in God. As a Pharisee, he would have believed in God, angels. He would have believed in more than you and I could count. I'm not asking if you've got religion. I've seen some drunkards that had religion. In fact, if you really want to see religion, get somebody stone drunk and watch them. They got religion. Not good religion, but religion. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. Some of the best people I know morally are just as lost could be. I'm not asking you, do you want to go to heaven? Years ago, I was very young, but a lady by the name of Loretta Lynn sang a song, "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven." I'm not asking you, do you want to go to heaven? You'd be an absolute moron to say, no, I want to go to hell. You'd be a moron to say that. I'm not asking you, do you want to go to heaven? I'm asking you, have you been born again? Now, the question has come up, not recently, but can a person be saved and not know it? I'm going to let that sink in and let you think about it for a minute. Can a person be saved and not know it? Many years ago, I pastored a church, and my wife and I went out to visit a young couple. He has supposedly been saved. When we talked to her, she said she had never been saved, so we began to witness to her, talk to her. And finally, we left. I left the church, went somewhere else. Another pastor went to visit them. And he asked me, to the husband, are you saved? The husband said, yes, I know I'm saved. Looked at the wife, do you know you're saved? No, I don't think I am saved. And the preacher told her, I am not making this up. He said, look, I know you. You're probably saved and just don't know it. And so, really? Yeah, you're saved and just don't know it. She walked down the aisle. She was baptized, joined this church. And I have no idea where they are today. But can a person be saved and not know it? Can a baby be born and not know it? How many of you remember when you were born? You know, I got to be honest, the details of my birth are pretty fuzzy. The only thing I remember about it is Dad told my brother and I about it many times. To this day, my brother still complains because they woke him up a little after midnight. Dad woke my brother up and said, "You got a baby brother." And my brother looked up and said, "So?" Went right back to sleep, you know. I don't remember my physical birth. But I know I was born because I'm alive. As a baby gets older, it begins to understand more and more. I'm making you think. I'm not dropping off the heresy yet. Can a person be saved and not know it? I know a person can be saved and forget it. Peter talks about that ye have forgotten that you were washed in the blood. You have forgotten that you were saved. I think we can get so backslidden that we can question our salvation. We can get so backslidden that we can actually wonder, am I really saved? If I'm saved, how could I be doing this? How could I live like that? I think we can be backslidden to the point that we really truly begin to doubt our salvation. And maybe sometimes that's good because we really weren't saved to begin with. I thought of what the blind man said when Jesus healed the blind man. The Pharisees begin to question the man, and they questioned the man. They called his parents in and say, was your son born blind? And they called the blind man back in. Tell us how he healed you. Finally, the blind man says, you know, look, the only thing I know for sure is once I was blind, but now I see. The leper that was uncleaned, there were 10 of them. Jesus healed them. He went on his way. He realized, I'm clean. He went back and gave praise unto God. I don't expect you to necessarily know the day. If I were in Bible Baptist, I could take you almost to the pew I was sitting on. I don't expect you to know the day, necessarily the time. It's a little after 12 Central Standard Time on a Sunday morning. You may not understand everything that took place, but if you're alive, there's going to be some evidence of it. What's the first thing a baby does when it's born? Well, maybe not the first thing, but one of the first things. What's a baby do when it's born? It begins to cry. What's it doing? It's saying, I'm alive! I'm alive! And you may not understand everything in salvation, but you know that something's different. You've been born again. You've been made a new creature. And you may not understand any of the theology about it. And you may not even know what the term means, born again. But you know that somehow I'm alive. I'm alive. I think if you're saved, if you're made alive, I think you're going to know it when it happens. You may not understand it. Just as the blind man. How did Jesus heal you? I don't know. But I know this much. Once I was blind, now I see. I believe that a person who is truly saved is that going to bear fruit unto salvation. Some 30, some 40, some 60, some 100-fold. Not everybody's going to live exactly like everybody else. But if a person is truly saved, they've been born again of the Spirit of God, they're alive. And they may not understand what being alive means, but they know they're not the same. Something's different. Paul said, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I don't mean, I like to refer to Lydia sometimes over in the book of Acts. Bible says that Paul went down by the river and he preached to the group of ladies down there. And the Bible says the Lord opened her heart. Wasn't some jump up and down, climb over pews, shout, scream, holler. But God opened her heart and she was made new. You may not have Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. You may not have, you know, an experience like somebody else, but if you were born again, if you were made alive, whether it was like Paul on Damascus or Lydia down by the river, if you're made alive, you know you're alive. And if you don't know if you're alive, then you really, 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 really need to examine yourself. Can a person be saved and not know it? A person can be saved and not understand it. A person can be saved and not know necessarily even the terminology to decide or say, I've been saved. They may not even know what saved means. They may not have the right terminology, phraseology, but they can say, I do know this much. I'm alive. I see for the first time in my life. I've been made clean. I'm not the same person. And you don't have to understand it, but you know something down inside is different. Something's not the same. Can you say this morning, I have been born again? I know it. My life proves it. My life manifests. I'm not the same. And then as a newborn baby is born, they begin to grow. Some babies grow faster than others. My youngest granddaughter went to the doctor last week. She's in the 90th percentile for height. So that means that 89 babies out of 100 are shorter than her. She's in the 80th percentile for weight. That means 79 out of 100 weigh less than she does. But they're still alive and they're still babies. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul to be saved. You don't have to be an outstanding. You may be in the one percentile. I'm not asking you your percentile. I'm asking you, are you alive? Are you alive? Have you grown? You know, a baby that doesn't grow is usually called dead. Have you been born again? Father, we come. Lord, I haven't preached this to scare anybody or to make anyone that's truly saved doubt their salvation. But Lord, there are so many people out there, not only in this building, but all over the country that will listen to this broadcast. People who have made a profession, walked the aisle, joined the church, baptized, and yet there's no indication of life. They go to church. They're religious. They're strict in their religion. They're Pharisees. They're knowledgeable. They've memorized the Old Testament. But they cannot go back to a time where they were made alive. I pray if there's any here today like that, may you open their heart, open their eyes, and may it please you to genuinely save them, even now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.